Avashishta.
Avashishta.
Remaining.
Yay.
Which?
Vriksha.
Trees.
Pita.
Being afraid. Duhitaram.
Their daughter.
Tada.
At that time.
Ujahru.
Delivered.
Te.
They.
Prachetobhya.
Under the Prachetas.
Upadishta.
Being advised.
Swayambhuva.
By Lord Brahma.
Translation. The remaining trees, being very much afraid of the Prachetas, immediately delivered their daughter at the advice of Lord Brahma. Purport. The daughter of the trees is referred to in text 13 of this chapter. This daughter was born of Khandu and Pramlocha. The society girl, Pramlocha, after giving birth to the child, immediately left for the heavenly kingdom. While the child was crying, the king of the moon took compassion upon her and saved her by putting his finger into her mouth. This child was cared for by the trees, and when she grew up, by the order of Lord Brahma, she was delivered to the Prachetas as their wife. The name of the girl was Marisha, as the next verse will explain. It was the predominating deity of the trees that delivered the daughter. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada writes, Vriksha tat adishtatri devata. The trees means the controlling deity of those trees. In Vedic literature, we find that there is a controlling deity of the water. Similarly, there is a controlling deity of the trees. Prachetas were engaged in burning all the trees to ashes, and they considered the trees their enemies. To pacify the Prachetas, the predominating deity of the trees, under the advice of Lord Brahma, delivered the daughter, Marisha. So, the Prachetas were considering the trees as enemy, because the trees were blocking the progress of human development. Right? The agriculture could not go on. The trees were everywhere, so you could not grow things. Without growing things, then how will people survive? How will they live? So they are considered enemies because the Prachetas, being head of state, it's their business to see that the citizens are able to be prosperous, they have the facility for prosperity. So then the idea is that removing the trees, then again the proper agricultural activities can go on. Because the whole creation is for knowing God. God is known through sacrifice. And so the performance of the prescribed duties is what is important. That's actually the purpose of creation, right? That's the actual in harmony with nature. Not just living amongst the trees and all that, but that makes the harmony. The actual harmony is that you're living amongst the trees for the purpose that you're supposed to do. The animals live amongst the trees, eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So that's great. They're in harmony in that way. But human beings' harmony is meant to be appreciated through the performance of sacrifice. So in this, you're supposed to know the Lord. So they were considered enemy. So then the Prachetas, that's the business of the Kshatriyas, to remove the enemy. Right? Whatever the obstacles are, they are to be removed. So in anything you want to do, then you want to remove the obstacles. So now, from what it looks like then, you know, the sufficient amount of trees has been removed. So Lord Brahma has come. So it's not standard that suddenly all the trees on the planet are being removed in one shot. Right? So people will remove some, then they'll grow back. Some, no, he was removing all the trees, the Prachetas. So Lord Brahma came to see what's happening. So then he requested the Lord of the Trees, or the moon god, to pacify the Prachetas by giving them his daughter. So by giving the daughter, then that would mean then the Prachetas are related now to the trees, right? So now they no longer would be considered enemy, right? So very, very, you know, very nice way of arranging things. Plus, they've just come out of the water from their austerities. Now would be the natural time taking up the responsibility to get married. So it all works out very nice, right? So that's the thing, is if things are done according to the natural form as given by the Lord, everything works out. You just have to see the bigger picture. Now, of course, if you had a whole bunch of greenies there and they were chaining themselves to the trees, then, you know, it would sound very nice, it would go very nicely on the news, but in reality, the problem is that the human activities are not going on. So this is the actual problem. So one has to be able to discriminate what is actually the authority, how it actually works, because otherwise if we speculate, there'll always be a difficulty. Right? Speculation is only useful if it's applied to Shabda. Right? That means, so then you don't call it speculation, you call it contemplation. When you hear from authority, and then you see with your senses, you have faith that what the authority has said is correct. Now you're trying to apply it to what you see. Not that what I see is different from what I've understood from authority, so authority must be wrong. No, it's the other way around. Doubts, if you want to be doubtful, fine, that's great. But the doubt is the other way. So the authority is correct, so why is it I see something different? So that must mean then the next natural step, which is the step that we don't want to take, that means I'm not perceiving things properly, right? Because the thing is I perceive things properly, therefore someone else has to be wrong. And since I've seen it with my senses, that part can't be wrong, so authority must be wrong. Rather than authority's right, I'm seeing something different with my senses, therefore I must be perceiving things wrongly, since I'm a conditioned living entity and having imperfect senses, making mistakes and being an illusion and cheating is the natural tendency, right? That would be, does that make sense? You know, you have four counts against you on one side and zero on the other, but somehow or another we come up with the faults on the other side, right? You know, hey, do the math, you know, it's called logic, right? So the difficulty is that we're not doing the math because it's all about emotion and feelings. So here the Prachetas, they're engaging their feelings, that emotions, in their duty, right? So in the Lord's service, but at the same time is being Kshatriyas, the tendency is to get carried away. That therefore the need of the higher authority, the Brahmins and the other senior personalities. That way then it becomes balanced, right? It's not that things are stopped, it's balanced. The point of balance is not to stop, right? The modern concept is that you create a bureaucracy and in this you make sure the bureaucracy is made up of people that actually have nothing in common and don't agree with each other. And in this way, then there's harmony because nothing gets done. Right, so the mode of ignorance is considered the model of harmony. But it's actually, that's not the thing. It's a matter of there's a cooperation, because even though everybody is different, that difference is the different aspects that cooperate together. Like it's really good that your hand and your mouth are different, right? If your hand was like your mouth, then it's really a problem. Right, every time you're eating, then he picks it up, goes in your mouth, and you have to take it from this mouth, put it into that mouth. You know, that would be a trip, right? So it's much easier that the hand is different from the mouth. So difference isn't the problem. The problem is their compatible cooperation. What's the natural cooperation? So yeah. Another point being brought out is this aspect of when it says the trees, because it's always talking about the daughter of the trees, then it means the daughter of the trees, but in this case, the moon god. But the moon god takes care of so many things, so in his capacity as the lord of the trees, that's how he's taking care of the girl. Right? So people have different moods. So depending upon what mood they're taking, that is then what is being dealt with here. Another subtle aspect is that when you're dealing with the same principle, this will say, oh, that's straightforward. Well, why do you have to bother with the trees? Just say the moon god. Okay, let's do that. Now let's apply it to the more practical situation for ourselves. When we say, a certain devotee, Krishna Das, who are we referring to? Right? We're referring to the soul, but through the medium of the body. So now if we follow our thing, well, this is stupid, why don't they just say the moon god? Why do they have to keep saying the trees? Then why do we have to refer to his body? Why do we connect it with the body? It's just a soul. You understand? So the whole point is the higher principle, the higher potency is always coming through some medium. So everything in the universe is coming through the medium of the demigods. In the same way as then the living force is coming through all the different bodies, but that's still controlled by the demigods. Right? And then ultimately the Supreme Lord. So you want to be able to connect both, because if you have one or the other, it's not complete. Right? If you only have the body, then there's the element of illusion, because it's not connected to the Lord. If we only have the Lord, we don't have his creation and his potencies and his pastimes, then it also becomes impersonal. Right? And we can say, no, but that's a bona fide aspect of the Lord, but at the same time is we don't know that aspect of the Lord. Right? The only reason that we know the creation is because we are manifest. And that manifestation is there only because the Lord is taking the mood of relationship or rasa. Then the creation is manifest. Otherwise, if he's in the state of Atmarama, there is no manifestation, so you're not in a position to be aware of it. Does that make sense? So the only technical thing that we have a relationship with the Lord actually that works is the personal. The other two are in consideration of our conditioning. They exist. His qualities exist as Brahman, he exists expanded as Paramatma, so all those aspects are there. But the principle is we actually can know the Lord because of the person. Right? We can only understand Brahman because of the connection with the person. We can understand Paramatma because of the connection with the person. But at the same time, the application is through Brahman or Paramatma in so much of what we're doing. If we're dealing with the world, that's actually the aspects of Krishna we're dealing with. We're dealing directly with the holy name, the Shastra, the deity, the Tham. Then we're dealing the Vaishnava. Then we're dealing directly. But everything else is indirect. So this aspect to create that connection between the devata and what they are in charge of is important, because then you have the Lord and his creation, right? The demigods and the elements of the creation they're in control of, and the soul and the body, right? So it's the same principle. So it's just the natural, it's the culture. Okay, any questions on this? Yes. There's a mic here. Mic goes back. I think the very bottom is a little switch thingy.
So were there?
There were 10.
Really?
10.
I thought there were 100 or something.
No. Prachetas is 10. Daksha's, his children were hundreds or thousands, actually.
Okay. But, how is it though that one woman could be the wife of all these 10 men?
How is Marisha the wife of all these 10? You have examples of them. There are a few of them, not much, but generally it's only an activity that's practiced by the ancients because the qualification is so great. It's not a standard way of dealing. It's not, it's not taken as that it's okay. It's just the situation worked out like that. What it means is that the means each of the Prachetas, they're going to deal with their wife in their own unique way as their own personality. And when she's, whichever husband she's with, then she will deal with him exclusively. She won't be thinking of the others. So in this way, that element of chastity is there. So that takes great qualification to be able to do that. You know, just like when Draupadi is with the Pandavas, whichever Pandava she's with, because he's that particular Indra, she is that particular, Sachidevi, that particular wife of Indra. So, in other words, with each husband, the flavor is completely different because it perfectly matches the nature of the husband. Some of this thing is not...
I had just wondered, I thought there were 100 Prachetas.
No, there's only 10. 10 Prachetas. So it works out a little. If there's hundreds, it would be a little more difficult.
It seems odd that after practicing 10,000 years of meditation, the Prachetas' first behavior, so to speak, is to give in to anger or to choose to be angry at the trees, which is not what you would expect of someone coming out of meditation exactly, and also as if the trees were culprits. In fact, I understand that they were considered enemies, but were their intention to do anything wrong? Were they not just born and prosper around the earth? Why should such an action from sages be justified to consider enemies people who don't mean to be? And also, strictly speaking, everyone has a right to life. The argument could be presented, although, of course, human life, from our perspective, is more important. Yeah. But we also are vegetarian for the reason that we respect life in every form. Then the last consideration would be that the Prachetas looked at the trees, not as spirit souls, apparently not as spirit souls, but as in a way.
Better you don't go there. Yeah. Better you really don't go there. The other thing's a doubt because things don't match up, but now you're actually casting aspersions on the Prachetas. So if you don't want to go to hell, then continue. But if you'd like to maintain your spiritual life, stop there, because it doesn't add to your question. It's just further speculation.
Apparently.
Yeah, there's a difference apparently, because then that means put it all together. But if you say like that, then you're saying that you have this understanding, because it's not. See, that's what we're saying, is you have to start with authority. Then it's a matter of these are the considerations, so how is it correct, rather than the kind of modernistic idea of unity is the basis, and so how are they behaving in this way? So, first of all, the point of the first mistake is that, means we're presenting it in this way because it was presented in such a clear as a doubt, okay? So then the first mistake in the doubt would be that meditation is not for the purpose of peace. That's what the modern people present yoga for, is that I have anxiety in material life, so I want material peace. So therefore, the idea of the yogi with the beard coming out and speaking so nicely, and oh, we're all together, and the harmony of the universe, that's actually a bogus concept. Yoga is meant to connect to the Lord so that you understand your relationship with the Lord. So that's been accomplished. They have just seen the Lord. And now, they've been requested to come out of the water to take up their duties of kings by the Lord himself, because their father has gone to the forest. He's been, his time had come after the preaching of Narad Muni. He's gone to the forest. It's been left to them. And so now they're simply looking at how to perform their duties to please the Lord. So then that means as Kshatriya is there to see that the actual proper balance in society is there. Human life can go on, sacrifice can go on, all these things can be there. That requires land, means grains, grains require land. The trees are on the land that they shouldn't be on, right? Like that. So they're not, you know, worried about what's in the Himalayas, they're worried about what's in flat land or arable land. You know, they're not worried about what's in the up in the mountains. So in other words, before that it's been Prithumars, and they've leveled the earth, they've done all these nice things, and now the trees have taken over. So that shouldn't be there, that's an imbalance. So they've removed the trees. So it's not a matter of spirit, soul, or this or that, it's a matter of the trees aren't supposed to be there, right? Then the other aspect is, you know, the trees, just this and that. Then according to Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada quotes, the trees means the moon god. The moon god didn't have to allow the trees to grow there, but he did. So the fault is the moon gods, like that. So that's the consideration. So the whole rasa that's going on here is between the Pachetas and the moon god. But he's the lord of trees, because the point is he doesn't have to allow them to grow there nicely. But they've grown very nicely. He said that they're so big, it looks like they're blocking the heavenly planets. Like that. They're so powerful. So they're blocking the heavenly, means things aren't allowed to go on. It's such a jungle like that. So these are the considerations like that. Because in here, see, is that life is important, but human life's importance is the harmony with the Lord. That's the harmony with the universe. Because the universe is created for reformation. Just like, let's say, the prisoner is, the criminal is in jail. The reason for the jail is reformation. So now, he's in the jail and he's doing very nice in the jail. You know, he does what he's supposed to, but it's not so much because the warden is there and the government is there that has put him there. And so he's done wrong, and so therefore he should try to correct his behavior as an individual, right? As a human being, he's there to correct his behavior. But instead of looking at it from that angle, he's looking at it, well, I'm here and I should be in harmony with the prison, right? So I should, you know, I close the doors nicely, I keep things clean, I drop something, I pick it up. So in this way, I don't bother the other residents of the prison, so I'm in harmony with the prison. You understand? So what's happened here is that even though it sounds very nice, it sounds very sattvic and very, very pleasant, very pleasing, but the whole purpose of his being in the prison has been missed. It's not to get along nicely in the prison, it's to reform yourself in relationship with the laws of the government. Now, it will look the same, but there's a difference in why you're doing it. In the case that this, you're doing it simply because the prison's there and you're in the prison, so you're part of the prison, so you want to be in harmony with the prison. The other is that, so you don't really care for the authorities that are in control of the prison. The other is that you're in line with the authorities of the prison, and because the prison is theirs, therefore you take care of it and deal with it nicely. So the one's sentimental, the other is actually in knowledge. Does that make sense? So that the sentimental one sounds very, very pleasant, because it goes to the mind, the emotions, that immediately creates a platform for interaction and relationship, but that is based on the externals. So it doesn't actually give the taste one's looking for. It has a touch of goodness, but it also has a big touch of ignorance. And that touch of passion that you want to be happy, pleasant, and peaceful. But in the other, then that's given as the peace formula. That's the actual peace formula, is that if we see the Lord and see it as His creation, then we're in harmony with Him by being in harmony with His creation. Then it takes on a different flavor. Then you're dealing with goodness and pure goodness. So it's transcendental. So that establishes relationships again, but it doesn't cultivate mundane relationships. That's the only weakness to the transcendental viewpoint. The relationships go very nicely because there's nothing mundane that you're trying to get from it, right? Because let us say, why does a marriage break up? It's irreconcilable differences, right? So that's the problem, is that that makes it that you have material motive in the relationship, so it breaks up. But here then you're saying is there is no material motivation. That means that the marriage or other relationships would go very fine, but they're just not based on the drive of that material emotion. And so because of that, we will think that it's something less in stature, when actually it's the other way around. So then it will work very nicely. So then, does that make sense? So the whole thing's not with the trees. The trees themselves, the particular tree is not, it's the moon god who's at fault, because he didn't have to put him there in the first place, like that. Is that okay?
Makes a lot more sense.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yes, this side. Here's this mic thingy. This. Thank you.
Would it be also another way of looking at that, in comparing to the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Of course, this instance, the Supreme is not present, but it's a situation of where external violence actually was beneficial towards the various jivas.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, the point is, since tree, vriksha means that which will be ultimately cut. So it's the dharma of trees to get cut anyway. It's just a matter of when. So in other words, since they will be cut, they should only be cut for a higher purpose. So if one is cutting them for one's sense gratification, you know, or just for, then that's not important. But if it's cut because of sacrifice, the element that therefore now the humans can do farming, they can get grains, they can graze cows, so now the human, you know, natural human existence can go on nicely. Then it would be the same principle what you're talking about. Yes, that's a good point. Yes, thank you much. Something else? Yes.
I was just going to ask you about the famous biblical saying, "Man has dominion over the earth." We have a right. We have a right to sculpt the earth.
Sculpt and change the earth according to our, as long as it's done dharmically, according to our,
yes,
our needs for,
yes,
spiritual advancement.
Yes, no, man has dominion over the earth, but that dominion is according to their prescribed duties, and the prescribed duties are given by the Lord. So in other words, if the human beings are doing their duties, then in that way then they're the senior. Just like if you want to manage anything, someone has to be senior. Right? So it's just natural. But dominion doesn't mean exploitation. Just like you can say the parents have dominion over the children, but it's not supposed to be exploitive. Right? As soon as that exploitive, then it becomes a problem. Right? But if it's not exploitive, then that's just natural management. So someone has to, because the animals are always engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and so they don't necessarily see the bigger picture. Human beings are supposed to see the bigger picture. And in this way, then, the human development goes on and the animals can do their thing. You know, so you make that proper balance like that. So, yes, it is dominion. Something else? Nothing else? Going once, going twice. Okay. Ganjaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaurav Vrindam.